Our next storyteller will be Aubrey Smith. Aubrey was born and raised in Seward, and after skiing for Northern Michigan University and coaching at Williams College in Massachusetts, she made her way back to Alaska and will never leave again, she says. She married a, I like this part, she married a scruffy, stinky dude. You can't find one of those on the East Coast, she said, who is from Talkeetna. So she found a teaching job in Talkeetna and started living off the grid in a fun, funky community of Talkeetna, as we all know. She teaches at the elementary school, coaches junior Nordic, middle and high school skiing. She keeps her busy and out of the Fairview. Her favorite place to be is in the mountains, but she spends a lot of time driving around Talkeetna, finding a place to get her mountain fix. Please welcome Aubrey Smith.
Lights. I feel a little dressed down coming in here, but then I realized, like, I have my belt buckle on, so I'm actually, like, dressed up a notch, right? Okay. Plus, I'm from Talkeetna, so I get a pass, right? And I'm sorry, babe, I did not know that was going to get red. Sorry. You're not that scruffy or that stinky. My parents made it up to Seward, Alaska from San Antonio, Texas, looking for a change. And they got that change. They got here in the late fall, and that first winter they were here was so snowy and so cold. My mom says that her favorite flower is still the dandelion, because that is the first sign of color she saw after 10 long months. So she loves the dandelion still. But anyways, they actually embraced the Alaska culture. They learned how to ski. They learned when it finally did, the snow did melt, they learned how to hike and bike and kayak and camp and fish. And I was born a year later, and I was lucky enough to be born in Seward, right on Resurrection Bay, with the mountains surrounding me, the glaciers surrounding me. And my parents were both teachers, and so all summer long we would hike and camp and just play in the mountains, and I thought this was like a great lifestyle, right? Until I was a teenager. And that was when my parents realized they were going to have to, like, recruit a bunch of my friends to go on these trips with us, because otherwise I would just be sullen and sulk the whole time. And so one of my best friends, her name was Andrea Prebis, and her family didn't do these kind of trips, so she was really excited to go with us. And she became a regular on all of our camping trips, so much so she really got into it. And her plan for herself and myself, before our senior year, she said, you know, we need to do our own, like, overnight trip. No sisters, no brothers, no parents, just you and I. You know, this is to prove, you know, that we are independent. We're going off to college. We are becoming adults now. We can get this freedom. You know, we're old enough where our parents really don't have to nag us all that much. And so this was her idea of, like, proving to everybody, like, we were big enough and old enough to do this by ourselves. And she really wanted to do Crow Pass. So I have something in common with Jeff here. My story is about Crow Pass. So she wanted to do Crow Pass, which I had done with my parents when I was younger, but it had been a long time. And so Crow Pass is like a 24-mile trail up into the mountains, you know, down along glaciers, and of course the big terrain feature is this big river that you have to cross. And when I had done it with my parents, it was a four-day trip. We did it very slowly. And so Andrea and I were like super motivated. We were like, we're going to do it in 2 days. We can do this, right? And my parents were like, great, sounds like a great idea. And so we're like, sweet. We were so excited about packing, and we had these checklists, and we practiced packing our bags really nicely. We practiced setting up the tent. We had to practice turning on the cook stove. For some reason, that was really tough. It was one of those little, I don't know what it was called, but it was, they were very hard to turn on. I don't know. So we had to practice that a lot and cook your own meals. And we practiced and practiced, and finally the day came when we could do this trip, and we were so excited. And my mom, the plan was my mom was going to drop us off in Girdwood, pick us up 2 days later at Eagle River. This was the time before cell phones, so we were just, you know, she was going to pick us up sometime on that second day, and either she would have to wait, we would have to wait, whatever. The time before cell phones, everybody was very patient. There's not so much like a specific timeline, right? So So she dropped us off, and we were so psyched. We were so psyched. And we started hiking really fast. And my friend Andrea is really hyper-motivated. And she wouldn't even let me stop to eat snacks. I mean, she was like, taskmaster. We were on this trip. We were going. We had something to prove, right? So we start hiking really hard. And I remember the one time we stopped to take a break, there was this big rock with a hole in it. And we thought that was so cool, we stopped to take our picture next to that. But that was the only time we stopped. And then we kept hiking, hiking. So that day we made it actually past the river. We crossed the river. And by the time we crossed this huge river, it's deep, it's cold, it's wide. By the time we got past that and set up our tent on the other side and made our dinner, we were feeling like the biggest badasses on earth. We were like, we have done this. We have made it. We are badass Alaskan women now. I mean, we've proved it to everybody. This is amazing. And we were exhausted that night, and we crawled in our tents, but we were so, so happy. And we woke up the next morning so sore, barely felt our hips, you know, could barely put our backpacks back on, but we were still giddy with excitement for the next day and thinking that we were going to, you know, make it to Eagle River, and it wasn't ever going to be, everybody's going to be so proud of us, and we would have a tale to tell. And so we started hiking so happy, so happy. And the trail gets a little fuzzy after the river, and so you have to really, like, a couple times we had to stop and be like, okay, nope, we have to go back and get back on it. And we were so excited. This was actually fun, like, right? We were jumping across logs and tiptoeing our way around things, and this was just so fun. And then an hour later, we got to a second river, a big river crossing. I was so excited, and we were still jabbering and jabbering, and like, we were so excited about having to prove ourselves a second time across the second river. It did not occur to me that, you know, the day before, the river was flowing this way. Oh, today it's flowing this way. It's exciting. It's a whole new thing. So here we go. We're plunging in. We're plunging in. We're doing this. We're linking arms. We've done this before, so we are getting good at this, you know? So we make it to the other side. Pat ourselves on the back again. Go, go, go. Okay? And count down the miles. And we're hiking, we're hiking, we're hiking. We start hiking up this other glacial moraine, this little hill. And I thought, oh, this is, it's so weird. This is like the strongest sense of deja vu I have ever felt. But do you think that anything different occurred to me? No, I was still very clueless. So we're just hiking along still, hiking along. So excited. So this next part I'm going to tell is actually the most embarrassing part. And I know if Andrea heard me tell this, she'd be like, why did you have to include that? Well, because this is real trail tales, right? I have to be honest. I have to be. I don't want to be. So we stop for lunch. And this French couple come on by. And they have really thick accents, and they're so excited about hiking, and they stop to talk to us. We can barely understand what they're saying, but they get out the map, and they talk excitedly, and we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go off, and Andrea turns to me, and she's like, those tourists were so messed up. And I was like, yeah. And I said, yeah, they totally had their map turned upside down. So the next thing I remember is cresting this little hill, and we were still in hugely good spirits. I mean, we were freaking clueless. We were still so excited about ourselves and our power and our freedom and our independence. And cresting this hill, and we both stopped at the same time with the same high-powered shriek, because there was the rock with the hole in it. And we hung our heads, and we hiked the not very many miles back to the Girdwood side of the trailhead. And somehow we found our way home, and we would have liked to not tell anybody about this and kept it a total secret from everyone, only my mother, remember, was back on the Eagle River side waiting for us and pissed because she didn't know where we were, and she was waiting all day. And finally, as she was pacing back and forth, she saw this sign on one of the outside doors from a ranger that said, "Kay Smith, your daughter and her friend has made it back to Seward." And she thought, those little they actually got a ride. They got here early. They got a ride back on their own, and they didn't tell me. And so she was pissed, and she got home, and we had to actually admit to her, no, we really didn't make it. And she then thought that this was so hilarious that she told as many people as she could, and we have not been able to live this down to this day. And I constantly get reminded about this anytime I do anything wrong. It's always Crow Pass. So Andrea and I, every time we talk, we consider, you know, she lives in California now, and so we don't get to see each other very much, but we've always wanted to redo the Crow Pass to get a little bit of redemption. We still haven't gotten to do that, but I still get so excited when I go out into the mountains, and I still love mostly every trail I do, even the ones with true river crossings. So thank you.